Praise God. Oh, once you see Jesus, nothing else quite satisfies anymore. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 21. Numbers 23, 21. The book of Numbers is one of the most interesting in the entirety of the Old Testament. It's the story of victory and defeat. It's the story of God dealing with people. And God said, He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Those two lines changed my life as a Christian. I'll get to it in a little bit how it happened. But it changed my life from condemnation to victory. He hath not seen iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. I want to use for a subject tonight the shout of a king. I realize we have a little bounce in this auditorium. It's nothing we can do about it. And the Lord will help us take care of it. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank you today and we praise your name. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for that nearness, that proximity of Jesus Christ. I ask my Lord that your Spirit will not only anoint me, and I know he shall, but you will also anoint these people to hear and receive of thy word. I pray that you would help us, my Lord, with the sound, that there be no problem or difficulty or hindrance, that these people may hear thy mighty word. And I'll ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Close to Jericho, near the mountain of Nebo, the mighty Jordan River, mighty at certain times of the year, small the majority of the times, but yet such a significant stream of water. I stood there not long ago, and I suppose that there has been as much that has happened at Jericho, the Jordan River there at Jericho, Moab, Mount Nebo, than any other particular place other than Jerusalem in the entirety of the Word of God. The children of Israel, over 2 million strong, were encamped in four different particular divisions just across the Jordan River. It was to be a time of tremendous victory and yet a time of defeat. Balak, the king of the Moabites, watched this tremendous host of God's people as they had come and they had encamped fresh from victories, ready to go into Canaan's fair and happy land. Balak was a powerful king, a mighty man. But as he looked at this tremendous group of people, he became very disillusioned, he became fearful, he became discouraged. I want you to know this as a Christian. The devil doesn't want you to know it. He will do everything he can to keep you from knowing it. But every demon in hell, every devil from the pit, is scared to death of you, the child of the living God. Do you know that? Do you understand that? And yet so oftentimes we conduct ourselves like it's the opposite way, it's the other way around. But Balak, the king, the enemy of your soul, spiritually speaking, is always fearful of you. And there's a reason for it. God is with you. God has blessed you. And the shout of a king is among you. And as he saw this tremendous group, his heart turned to water. He knew there was no way that he could defeat them in a standing battle. So he sent for Balaam. Balaam was some 600 miles distant, a 20 days journey. But he sent for him. What he knew about Balaam, I do not know. How he knew about him, I do not know. There has been much controversy in respect to Balaam. I've studied, and restudied the Word of God in this respect. I believe that Balaam was a prophet of God in the beginning. I believe that he was in touch with heaven in the beginning. And there's a reason I believe this. Balaam gave such tremendous prophecies that there is no way that one of evil intent could have given prophecies of this nature. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecy after prophecy. And when this man was contacted, he made the statement, I cannot curse that which God has blessed. When Balak told him, I want you to stop Israel. Now listen to me. I wish I could say today that the entirety of the church world was for you as a child of God. But when you make an effort to get closer to Jesus Christ, you're tired of the status quo. You refuse to become bogged down in religiosity. You want more. You want to excel in the Word. You want everything that God has for you. You want Canaan's fair and happy land. And of course, I'm speaking in types. Spirituality. Not only will demon powers oppose you, but oftentimes those that are Christians will oppose you also. This is a sad shame. It ought to be the other way around. But those that are in the faith, those that should know better, will oftentimes hinder you and oppose you. It doesn't bother Jimmy Swaggart for somebody that's full of the devil to oppose me. I expect that. It doesn't bother me for the devil to raise his ugly head. I expect that. But it cuts me to the core. It squeezes tears from my eyes when my brothers in the Lord criticize me when I'm endeavoring to do everything I can for Jesus Christ. That hurts. Because there is a bond tie there. There is a closeness among Christians that even makes insignificant the closeness of a natural brother and sister. You people out there that's not saved tonight, you don't know what fellowship is. You don't know what friends are until you get saved by the blood of the Lamb and you enter this great big family of God Almighty. Boy. I mean, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. I'll be sometimes in an airport and somebody will run up to me and just throw their arms. I've never seen them before in my life. Just throw their arms around me. I went skiing the other day. I turned upside down, inside out. I fell over, under. And I like to broke a rib. Some people helped me go. They helped pay for a lot of it. And I like to broke a rib. And I mean, it was in bad shape. I said, Lord, help me. He said, well, you shouldn't have gone that way. I tried to get smart. And he said, and my next crusade was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I walked off the platform that night. This was, I don't know, a week or so later. And I was so sore I could hardly breathe. And a man came up to me. He must have weighed 300 pounds. And I don't mean sloppy fat either. I mean like a bulldog. Boy, that devil sure hated it when he lost him. I mean, he was like, he came up to me and he didn't say, hello, God bless you, kiss my foot. He grabbed me and I weigh 188 pounds. He picked me up and shook me like a dog. Said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I have my feet dangling. And I thought, he's killing me, he's killing me, he's killing me. But I said that humorously to say this. This beautiful love that we have for one another, let's don't get involved in quarrels and fighting and fussing. God is not pleased with it. Let's labor together for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll work until he comes and then be gathered home. But what if we disagree, Brother Swaggart? If we disagree, let's disagree agreeably. Let's be a gentleman about it. And that's all that's necessary. But Balaam said, I cannot curse that which God has blessed, for these people are a blessed people. Now, there are three little points I have to this message tonight. First of all, what God can do for you. Secondly, what the devil cannot do. And thirdly, what you as a saint of God ought to do. Very simple. There is really no way that the mind of man can understand what God can do for them as an individual. The Bible said these people were a blessed people. The children of Israel were a blessed people. Whenever God Almighty puts his hand of approval on something and blesses it, that particular person or body of people, they have the very best that heaven can give. There is nothing in the world that can compare with it what God can do for you. We tonight, when I say we, I don't mean a particular denomination. I mean everyone that's saved by the blood of Jesus. We are a blessed people. I believe it's Ephesians 1 and 3 that says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. I mean all spiritual blessings. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 that the blessings of Abraham have been passed unto us. Not only the blessings of Abraham, but we have a better covenant tonight. If you're here unsaved and you do not know this way that I'm talking about, I prayed most of this day asking God to give me the vocabulary somehow for you to see how great, how wonderful it is to live for Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the most exciting, it's the most thrilling, it's the most beautiful, it's the most wonderful life there is. To be a Christian, to be saved, to know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may think we're crazy sometimes. You may think we act a little stupid and a little foolish, but friend, we can't help it. Praise God. I had a Catholic come into my office the other day, and that man was Roman Catholic. He'd just gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him in my life. He charged past my secretary, ran into my office, threw his arms around me, danced all around me. I didn't know who he was. How would you like for somebody to do you that way? I didn't know, he knew me, but I didn't know him. I didn't know his name. I'd never seen him before. I found out that he was the vice president of the second largest bank in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And there he stood. Just a few days ago, he was on his way to hell. He said, Brother Swaggart, I'm going to everybody I know and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for me. And brother, then I got up and I shouted all around him. Hallelujah. What it means to be saved, what it means to have the joy of the Lord within your heart. Now, God said something about this crowd that for years I'd stumbled over that scripture. And I really could not quite understand it. He said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Now, how in the world could God say that about that crowd? That was a rebellious bunch, to say the least. They were always getting in trouble. They were always having difficulties. But yet God, that knows everything, said, I see no iniquity among them, and there is no perverseness among them. Do you realize that God doesn't see you as a Christian as the devil sees you? If you really love God, and I'm not talking about you that are lukewarm and could care less. I'm talking about those of you that love God with all of your heart. I mean, you're doing everything you can to live for Jesus and be a good Christian. If you're like that, there are things in your life that you still are a little bit ashamed of. You feel like you ought to get closer to God, and you're striving continually to walk a closer walk and to live a better life. And there's still some little old things. And maybe it's not with you, but I know it is with me. Jimmy Swaggart is still some things I feel like the rough edges need to be polished off of. Now, I know I'm speaking to a group of perfect people, but I'm just talking about myself now. There's still some rough edges. Most of you live in a cocoon, a shelter, but where I live, there is nothing but pressure 24 hours a day. I mean, it's pressure that's just like a balloon that threatens to explode. I know that none of you have ever had a problem with patience, but I've had a problem with patience, or a lack of it. Patience is being able to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. That's what patience is. And I have prayed about that thing. And years ago, it almost wrecked me. I'm not talking about the patience thing. I'm talking about I felt that I never quite measured up to what God wanted. And the devil used it as condemnation against me. I labored with a load on my back. I worked tirelessly for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but yet I felt that He wasn't pleased with me. I felt that I failed Him so often, so many times. I'd say a wrong thing here. My temper would get quick there. I would make a bad judgment here. I would do something here I had no business to do. And I felt that my God was not pleased with me, that He was impatient with me. He's out of patience with me. And one day God opened up that scripture to me, that God does not see iniquity in us. He sees no perverseness. You know why? Because not only are you converted or saved or forgiven, but you are also justified. Some of you may not know what justification is, but you Christians, it plays such an important part in your life. Justification goes a step further than forgiveness. Anybody can forgive, but there is no earthly mortal that can justify. If one of you here does something wrong, the state may forgive you, but they can't wipe it from the books. It's on the record somewhere. You did it. But God Almighty can not only forgive, but He can wipe the slate clean as if though you never did it. Hallelujah. Justified. Praise God. I want to tell you, when the devil comes to you again and said, hey, you did that, whatever it was, yesterday or a year ago, and you ask God to forgive you, and then whenever he tries to find it on that book, he cannot find it, because it is washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as you shall be. Hallelujah. A king. Standing in his presence, totally glorified and justified. That's the way he sees you. Consequently, by faith, he can look at you and say, you're the apple of his eye. I want to tell you, brother, we are all the time talking about how we love God and we ought to love him, we'd better, but he loves us too. I want to tell you, when you talk about his kids, you're talking about the apple of his eye. You better watch how you're talking about Jimmy Swaggart, because you're talking about somebody God sure likes. Hallelujah. I know he's told me so. God looked at that crowd of people and he said, I see no iniquity among them. I see no perverseness among them. There is the shout of a king among them. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you this. Whenever you get saved, you live for Jesus. You get the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost within your heart and within your life. Jesus Christ will give you the happiest life in the world if you will give him half a chance. I want to say this, Christians are the happiest people on the face of the globe today. Christians are the most wonderful people as far as peace, as far as joy is concerned on the face of this earth today. And they don't have to get it out of a bottle or a pill bottle or anything else. It's inner joy that comes from within, given by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God can do for you. I was in Memphis, Tennessee the other day, and the more I live for God, the more I get so happy about this thing. And I want everybody to have it. Man, I want everybody in the world to have it because I know what it'll do for them. I've got a young man that works in my office. He is a genuine, first grade, total fanatic. If he talked to the governor, he'd have him on his knees in 2 minutes. That's the way he is. I went to see the president the other day. He invited me for lunch at one of the biggest banks in Baton Rouge. He'd loaned us $1 million and he wanted to see me. He said, I just wanted to see who I'd loaned all that money to. And I walked into his office, most beautiful office I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know, you know, I hadn't been around a lot of bankers. I didn't know what to talk about. You know, stocks, bonds, I don't have any of them, so I didn't know what to do. He won't talk about Jesus. He said, you know, Joe came over here to see me the other day, and that's the fellow I'm talking about. He said, right there is where we got on our knees. That's Joe. He went to Washington, D.C. He told me, he said, Jim went on business for the organization. He said, I'm going by to see Senator Russell Long when I'm up there. Maybe you don't know Russell Long. He's one of the most powerful men in the world. I looked at him. I said, what? He said, I'm going by to see Senator Long. I thought you nut. I didn't tell him that. I thought you nut. You'll never see Senator Long. But he did. And for over an hour, you know what they talked about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. This compulsion within our heart, if you don't have it to want everybody in the world to know about Jesus, something's wrong with you. And I was in Memphis, and Donnie and myself and John had gone to see my cousin Jerry Lee. He was in a hospital. And it broke my heart. I couldn't help it. His life has been shattered by sin, by iniquity, by the bondage of darkness. And as I walked into that room and I talked with him and I tried to, he and I were raised together like brothers. Well, I mean, we learned to play piano together in church. We're so much alike, even though we're worlds apart. We're so much alike in some ways that it's just a difficulty just to try to, it scares me at times. And he asked all the people to leave the room, all except himself and John and Don and myself. And he had called me up there because his life had been totally wrecked by sin. I stood there looking at him, sobbing, his frail shoulder shaking and tears rolling down his cheeks. And I don't mean just tears, I mean sobbing as the Spirit of God touched him and he said, Jimmy, I've gone too far. God doesn't love me anymore. It's no use. My two sons are dead. My mother's dead. My wife is gone. My home is gone. My voice is gone. My fingers tremble. The greatest rhythm piano player in the world. My fingers tremble. I can't play anymore. Bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by the ravages of darkness. I stood there and I had to shake him by his shoulders and say, Jerry Lee, I know you've done bad. I know it's bad, but Jesus Christ still loves you. And if you'll give him a chance, he'll roll back hell and the tides of darkness and lift you up above the shadows and plant your feet on higher ground. God'll do it if you'll just let him. Mr. Drunkard, he can break that bondage of alcohol. He can break that bondage of argumentative spirit that's in your home. He can change your life. God can do it. If you'll let him do it.
And I couldn't help it. I stood there looking at him. He has made millions of dollars. I don't mean thousands. I mean millions. Many, many times given $10,000 20 years ago to play an hour show. Records by the tens of millions that have sold. And I stood there looking at him and I thought of this. I remembered the day when I stood in a little church. A little small thing. It wasn't much bigger. It wasn't any bigger than this platform. And I had watched Jerry Lee's dad ride off in a great big Cadillac. And I didn't have $10 in my pocket. I had one suit of clothes. I had one pair of shoes. When I say one suit, man, I mean a little old, the cheapest little old thing you could find. One pair of shoes. Not knowing how in the world I was going to pay the note on that old car that the paint was oxidized on it and the windshield was milked over. I mean, it had had it. And Jerry Lee's dad had just told me that Sam Phillips, a man had started Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Charlie Ritz, Jerry Lee Lewis, and the whole crowd had sent for me. I was to be there the next morning. That was a Sunday, be there on Monday. Signed the contracts. Gospel music. You can buy a Cadillac next month, he told me. You can have it. Look at that piece of that rag you're wearing. But the Holy Ghost said to me, you can't do it. Don't go in that direction. I said, but Lord, it's gospel music. He said, I can't help what it is. You follow me. You follow me. I said, Lord, I can't see the way it goes. He said, well, just trust me. Just trust me. I'm telling you what God will do for you. If he knows the way through the wilderness, and all you have to do is follow. And I stood there that day and I said, God, I'm not serving you for money. I'm not serving you for gold. I'm not serving you for silver. I will hitchhike if I have to preach this gospel. And I'll do it with pasteboard in the bottom of my shoes and patches on my trousers if that's what you want. But I'm here to tell you I'm going to give you my best. And I am going to expect your best. The best that heaven has. Praise God. What's the moral of what you're saying, preacher? This is it. Jesus made some statements that just will boggle your mind. He said, if you want to keep it, give it away. Now, man, there's not a mathematician in the world can understand that. He said, the way up is down. Now, that'll get you, friend. He said, get on your knees if you want to stand tall. He said, if you save your life, you'll lose it, but if you lose it for my sake, you'll save it. He said, you give everything you got to me, and I'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I stood there that day. My cousin Jerry Lee had made millions and millions and millions of dollars. It looked like the smart thing to do. The whole world says, man, that's the way to go. They still scream that, but that's the biggest lie in hell. If you'll go God's way, Mr. Businessman, young man, young lady, mom, dad, he will give you the very best that heaven has. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you. My wife and I, we have a comfortable living. We have no investments. We have a little savings, and that's about it. About 6 years ago, God told me he wanted all the record money, every dime of it. He said, I want every bit of it. I learned not to argue with him. He's a Jew, you know. Said, I want it all. I said, Lord, I want some for my boy. I said, Francis and I many times went to bed hungry and didn't have a dime to even buy a hamburger. And Lord, I'd like to have just to give me a little for him. He said, just follow me. And this was 6 years ago. He said, I want it all, every dime of it, every cent of it. Now, he said, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. He said, I'll still bless you and I'll still love you and you'll still have your ministry. But if you want my perfect will, he said, you'll give it all to me. Now, I could have kept it. I could have kept it. Today, I'd be a millionaire 4, 5, 6 times over. Today, I could own apartment buildings all over the country, but I'm not a millionaire and I do not own things. But I stood in front of my cousin And he'd made millions and never given any of it to God, and I had more than he had. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. If you'll go God's way, his way is the best way. Praise God. Go. Physically, I looked at him. He couldn't stand. Bless his heart. My heart broke from him. He couldn't stand. Body trembling and shaking, and there I was, strong and powerful. And I thought, God, spiritually, demon spirits clutching at him. And I wouldn't take 10 million worlds for this Jesus that's within my heart. What God can do for you. You are a blessed people. The devil can't curse you. You don't let him. Secondly, I want to show you what the devil can't do. I've showed you what God can do in a little nutshell. I want to show you what the devil can't do. Now, I'm going to pull the covers off of old Slewfoot tonight. I hate that rat. Some of you sat out there and trembled and say, oh, my Lord, you talk like that about the devil. Don't you know you're going to make him mad? Honey, he's mad already. He's been mad a long, long time. And if you'd got kicked in the head by a mule, you'd be mad too. He's old and he's tired. You know that? I'm going to say some things about him that's going to just flat flip your mind. Do you realize, first of all, the devil has no power? He has no power. I want to say that again. He has no power. Oh, I know we got Christians thinks he does. Do you have Bible for that, Brother Swaggart? Yes, I do. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. That means the devil doesn't have any left. His teeth have been pulled. He's hard of hearing. He limps when he walks, and he's got a headache. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you the truth, friend. He has no power. For instance, he's been telling some of you for 2 years he's going to kill you. He's been telling you you're going to die of a heart attack, you're going to die of cancer, you're going to die of a brain tumor. Don't give yourself that much credit. You're going to do this. The next time he tells you he's going to kill you, make him put a date on it. Make him name the time. He can't do it. He cannot do it because he has no power to carry it out. Secondly, he's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. He can't do it. He couldn't stop those people of Israel if they had not let him do it. And you Christians, quit letting him, quit allowing him to hinder you. He'll tell you you're going to get sick. Don't get in line. Don't fold over and say, well, I'm ready for it. Put the needle here. Don't do it. Don't get in line. Quit trying to take a cold. Quit trying to take the flu. Quit saying my arthritis. Quit owning the junk. That's right. One lady asked me the other day, she said, would you pray for my headache? I said, no, it's doing well enough without me praying for it. I meant, you know, it's silly. I know we laugh about it, but it's the truth. You ought to watch the words of your mouth. You are somebody special. The shout of a king is among you. Quit acting like a pauper and start acting like a king. Quit listening to the devil and use the mighty name of Jesus on him. Well, how does the devil do what he does? Because sinners let him do what he does, and we Christians let him do it. I've made up my mind. He's not having my victory. He's not having my joy. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. He's not going to stop me by the help and grace of Almighty God. Somebody said, you'd better watch what you say. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm watching what I say. The devil cannot do anything. He's a deceiver. He cannot read your mind. You know most Christians think he can. He has them buffaloed to where they think he can do anything. He can't read your mind. Only God can do that. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream? He couldn't remember it. He called in his magicians, his soothsayers. They were of the devil. What they did was of demon spirits, and they couldn't tell him his dream. Now, if they were able to read people's minds, if the devil could read people's minds, they would have known what he dreamed. But when they wanted to know what happened, they had to call in Daniel, in whom the spirit of a holy God was. Satan cannot do what he tells you he can do. Glory to God. You can be totally victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the shout of a king is among you. Now, you Christians, quit letting the devil run over you. Today I was praying, the Lord impressed me to do this. Mr. Carter got up a couple of nights ago, as you well know. He said, your gasoline's going to a dollar and a gallon, or a dollar and a half, or whatever it is. They're going to do this and do that and do the other. And the Lord said today, you pray about that situation. And if enough Christians over this land just would knock the devil out of it and start praying for those in authority over us and ask God to give our scientists wisdom that they can get gasoline or oil out of a rock if they have to do it, he'll do it. That's right. The devil would wreck this country if he could. And Christians all over it are beginning to wake up and realize that you have authority over Satan. Praise God, start using it. Quit letting him take your children to hell. Quit letting him run over your home, and start binding him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot do it. And last of all, I've told you what God can do and what the devil can't do. Now what you ought to do. The shout of a king is among you. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 that we reign in life. And that word reign means to be on a throne like a king in this life in Christ Jesus. John said in Revelation 1 and 6, we are kings and priests unto him. You have the shout of a king among you. Quit acting like a beggar. I'm reminded, and it just, I don't know, but I will. This beggar walks into a Sambo's hamburger place and asks the manager, said, I want you to give me a hamburger. That old dirty clothes on. And the man said, give you one. He said, yeah, I want you to give me one. He said, if you will, said, I'll perform a trick for you. He said, well, I'll give you a hamburger. He reached in his pocket, the beggar did, pulled out a little piano, set it down, and reached in another pocket and got a mouse and set it on a piano, and a mouse played Danny Boy perfectly. Never missed a note. That manager of Sambo said, I've never seen anything like that in my life, man. Anybody could train a mouse to do that. The man ate the hamburger, said, I ain't had anything to eat in 3 days. He said, would you fix me another one? Said, I'll perform another trick for you. He said, man, you can't top that. Said, yeah, I can. If you can top it, I'll give you another hamburger. He reached in another pocket, got a canary, set it on top of the piano, and the canary sung Danny Boy while the mouse played it. Gave him the other hamburger. He said, man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. He said, here you are begging for hamburgers, panhandling, old dirty suit of clothes on. You've got the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. You could fill the biggest auditoriums in the country. You could be a millionaire. And you're begging for hamburgers.
Yeah, he said, no, won't work.
What you mean it won't work? He said, it won't work. He said, it's not real. So what you mean it's not real? There's the mouse. There's the piano. There's the canary. I heard them with my ears. I'm looking at them right now.
No, it's not real.
That canary never sung one note and never said one word. The mouse is a ventriloquist. We laugh, and we ought to, but do you realize the Christians that are the same way? My Lord, Christians that are walking through this life with a shout of a king among you, wearing old beggar's clothes, trying to say, we don't know what we're going to do. My back is killing me. I've never felt so bad in all my life. I guess I'll die of a heart attack. Nobody will love me when I get old. I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. I'm scared to death. Things sure look bad. We're going to have a depression. I don't know how in the world I'm going to make ends meet. You're acting just like that beggar. You ought not do it. There is the shout of a king among you. Hold your head up high, square your shoulders, look the world in the face, because you're the salt of the earth and the light of this world. The shout of a king is among you. Act like a king. Look like a king. Walk like a king. Talk like a king. That's what you are in Christ Jesus. That's what you ought to do as a saint. Hallelujah. God said they are blessed. God said, I see no iniquity among them. I see no perverseness among them. And there is the shout of a king among them. You as a child of God, act like it. Walk like it. Look like it. I was thinking today as I was praying. Oh. When I was a boy, just a little fella, 3, 4 years old, my mom and daddy made their living playing music and dances. At dances. That's the way they made their living. They knew absolutely nothing about God. My daddy was a fiddle player, violinist. My mother played guitar. My mother was an excellent singer. She's with the Lord Jesus now. My dad had never been to church in his entire life. Not even as a child. He never had been to church. Never. My mother may have gone, she said. She couldn't remember it, but maybe once or twice to a funeral. Maybe. They knew nothing about God. Nothing. I think how close I came to never knowing about what I'm telling you about tonight. My uncle, in whom I was born in his home 42 years ago last March, he was a millionaire several times over, one of these self-made men. I never saw him in a suit of clothes in my life. Always drove an old rattletrap pickup truck, fenders falling off of it, black smoke coming out the exhaust. He owned so many rent houses, he didn't really know how many he had. He owned thousands of acres of land with oil wells spouting black gold. Thousands of head of cattle. A millionaire whenever a dollar was a dollar. He turned a curve in the road. Saw two women breaking weeds with their bare hands. One just a 17-year-old girl. The other was her mother. He stopped his truck. It interested him because that was about the only plot of ground he didn't own in that section. In our little hometown in Louisiana, he got out of his truck and stopped and asked him. He said, what are you doing? They said, we're breaking the weeds. Why? We're going to stretch a tent. What you going to do with the tent? We're going to build a church. He said, two women? Yes. How much money do you have? They said, we don't have any. But that church was built. I was saved in it. My mother was saved. My daddy was saved. My grandfather, my granddaddy. And I saw God speak to my old uncle time and time and time again in that church. But I look back and I think, just so close, and I would have never known of Jesus Christ, his power to save. And there are few times that I get on my knees to pray that I don't thank God for years ago somebody bringing this great and glorious gospel to my home to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Instead of the stagger of a beggar, there's the shout of a king in my heart. And it's the same with you. Would you bow your heads, please?